You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. And we're full there in week 15 mode. We got the decider column that I do every week up there, the start sits. We got the sleepers and busts as well for you up there. New Wednesday content as well as the weekly rankings at SportingNews.com. And here we expand on what I look at there on the decider with the matchup focused here. We'll have Jeff Radcliffe of Pro Football Focus join the show a little bit later to help us break down four of the more intriguing contests of the week with the data they've gathered PFF and that insight that he only can provide here. So looking forward to that. Another full 16 slate of games here, so we're going to have to dive into it. And stay tuned. There's going to be a special offer for you here to do something very special here with the Locked On NFL Network and get in on the action in DFS late here. So stay tuned for that big announcement there. I just tweeted it out. You can follow me on Twitter at Vinny Iyer there, and I'll put it up there again after the show if you're listening. But you can check my Twitter feed for that. But I don't want to give it away quite yet. We'll do that right before the break and we bring on Jeff. And now, usually we start with the Thursday game breakdown here as we look at both sides of every contest on the slate. But we're going to save that one for Jeff. The magnitude is just too big here and the scoring potential between the Chargers and Chiefs. A great Thursday night game. So we'll bring in Jeff and then we're going to do the back end of the week with him as well. But we'll do all the games in between here, and we have Saturday games this week. Saturday, remember that. You got two games on Saturday this week, and that's where we're going to start breaking them down. The first one is the Texans and Jets, the late afternoon matinee. And you look at this one, we'll start with the Texans side. It's your main dudes that you're putting in there, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Miller, and DeAndre Hopkins. I'm not going to extend too much here in this matchup. I think they can keep it simple and win the game. I'm not necessarily going to reach for Alfred Blue and hope he does something, or the tight ends, or any of the second wide receivers. I think this could be a big nuke show with DeAndre Hopkins and a lot of Miller here grinding away, and a lot of Watson doing his thing. You just don't know who's going to be the guy. If you're looking potentially deep, you could look at Demaryius Thomas, but he's touchdown dependent. We could have Kiki Kuti returning this week, where if you're looking for a kind of a sneaky DFS play, Kuti could have some value with the Jets really struggling in slot coverage. And the Jets do give them some big plays, but I think a lot of that is going to go to Hopkins and he can dominate this matchup. So I don't think they're going to diversify as much. So I like the principles here for the Texans. They want to get out of this game. Texans defense is a smash play, of course. The Jets are always vulnerable to sacks and picks, especially with Sam Darnold in there banged up, but he should be playing still here over Josh McCown, who's also banged up. So ugly Jets offense. They also have running back injuries here. Isaiah Crowell is in a walking boot. He could have to miss his first game ever in the NFL. And then you have Elijah McGuire's dealing with an ankle injury. You have Trenton Cannon dealing with a toe injury. That Jets backfield is a mess, and the matchup is just not very good either. I don't know where you go anywhere in the Jets. I can't really recommend Robbie Anderson. Quincy Nunua is banged up. Chris Herndon might be the only thing you look at. It's going to underneath target there for Darnold. He has been productive. The Texans have given up things to the tight end. So Chris Herndon is the only potential here, but it's a 41.5 over under, so not a lot of points there on either side. So Texans keep it simple, get a win, rebound from last week, get out of there. The Jets really are not going to do much of note in this game at home. Our next game, this is the primetime game on Saturday, is the Browns and Broncos. And two teams that are hard to figure out from week to week. There are a lot of things positive going on in Cleveland. Denver was rolling until that loss in San Francisco last week. With the Browns, Baker Mayfield, if you need him, you can play him. The Broncos pass defense isn't as scary. We saw Nick Mullins do some things against it. But the difference is, I think this game is at home in Denver. Baker Mayfield has not been quite as good away from Cleveland there, or Ohio, really. He really lit up Cincinnati. But when he's not playing at Ohio, he's not as good there. And the receivers are letting him down. He didn't have multiple touchdowns in the past two games, even though he played really well. So you can see a lot of running here from Nick Chubb. It's only a 45.5 over under, so we're not expecting a shootout between these two teams, although the point spread's only 3 in favor of Denver. I mean, I could see the two TDs coming from Mayfield. I don't see a ton of yards here. I think the Broncos can control the action with their running game and really have the plays here. And I think you look at the Broncos there. Phillip Lindsay, of course, is in your lineup. Case Keenum could be a sleeper. We just don't know who's going to be involved as much. If Cortland Sutton's banged up, you might get Denzel Ward if he gets cleared from the concussion protocol here. So you're looking at that. Deshaun Hamilton looks like the play again, because he's pretty much what Emmanuel Sanders was in this offense. It's a key role for Keenum here, and he came through with a touchdown, had 9 targets last week. That's where you attack the Browns away from their top corner, and then you run the ball a lot. So Phillip Lindsay's there. I wouldn't extend to Royce Freeman. I don't think they're going to pull away enough for Freeman to be in there, but that's how I can look at the Broncos. The Broncos' defense at home is a sneaky play as well. They've been called out a little bit here after the 49ers game. They're going to be revved up. It's prime time. Von Miller, Bradley Chubb. It's not a very good offensive line overall for the Browns. So they get some tee-off opportunities, some turnover opportunities for Denver here in this one. So a sneaky play with that primetime bump. Now with the Browns, you're pretty much looking at Nick Chubb and Jarvis Landry. At this point, Antonio Callaway, Rashad Higgins, they take their turns doing things. David Njoku, if you need him other than Landry, you would look at the Broncos, who destroyed by George Kittle last week. They've been up and down against the tight end this year, mostly down, but really it's more about the David Njoku usage there versus Darren Fells and set to valve here. And if Mayfield's going to throw a lot downfield, and Landry can really eat into that usage as well. So if you need Njoku, play him, but you can't feel great about that. This matchup is rather good. If you got a better alternative, go there. However, and Landry locked in after a big game against the Panthers last week. No Chris Harris Jr. on the other side, so figures to be a lot of opportunities there for what you can expect is a good slot game for Landry. Now, the next game we go to is the Packers and Bears as we flip to 1 p.m. games on Sunday. And the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, there's been a lot of questions. Should you play Aaron Rodgers? He did do well against his defense. I know that defense was just getting together there in week one with Vic Fangio and Khalil Mack. The Bears did smash this one with Brett Hundley, but remember, Rodgers is not throwing interceptions here, so he can avoid the mistakes there that Jared Goff made in Chicago. It's a 1 p.m. game, so the primetime is not as bad. There's a big injury on the Bears with Bryce Callahan, the slot corner down. So beyond Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, who really burned the Bears the first time, can get going. So Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to trust here. I think you could look at Randall Cobb as well. Mentioned had that long touchdown in the first matchup. No Callahan in this game. Devontae Adams, Prince Amukamara can give him some trouble with size, but he's Devontae Adams. He's just an elite receiver that comes through every week. So you feel good about him. Aaron Jones, this one's tricky because I know Todd Gurley was shut down last week, but I think the Packers have made it a point to get Jones heavily involved. And the touches and volume alone are there. And the Bears are not necessarily super dominant against the run. We've seen them give up some yardage overall to Saquon Barkley of late. So I just think the Rams had a really bad game plan, where I think the Packers, with a better quarterback play and more efficiency, are going to do a little bit better, and familiarity with the Bears as well with his defense. Over the years, when you go even back to San Francisco, Aaron Rodgers has had good games against the Vic Fangio scheme. So you feel good about Rodgers here and the main guys that you trust in the Packers. They're not Jimmy Graham, no. He's done nothing. Same thing goes for the other tight end in this game, Trey Burton. The Packers are really good against the tight end. Burton has basically disappeared from the Bears' offense. Part of that is Mitchell Trubisky's struggles as well, so can't recommend Allen Robinson. Don't know what you're going to get from Taylor Gabriel. The Bears have pretty much transitioned to being all about Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard at this point. So that's where you trust that team the most. The weather's going to be bad. That's where their strength is. They want to protect their defense, keep it off the field, even though it can make some big plays against Aaron Rodgers. So Howard and Cohen is where it's at. I don't like the wide receivers and tight ends for this team this week. Howard did come through against the Packers in week one. The Packers did give up a lot of chunk yardage to both Tevin Coleman and Ito Smith last week. So that bodes well for the Bears' dynamic duo there in the backfield. And the Bears are 6-point favorites in this game, so they should win or at least have a chance to keep running the ball. That's all you're looking for. And if you got alternatives, maybe, say you have the Ravens sitting out there or you have a Jaguars defense out there, I would maybe go in that direction just because you're not going to get those interceptions from Rodgers, and we know that. So that's where I'm looking. But otherwise, I'm sticking with the Bears. They've got you this far, and but in DFS, I would definitely fade the Bears this week. Our next 1 p.m. game here is the Cowboys and Colts. And with this one, it's a game where I think it's going to have more points. It's a 47 over under. The Colts are actually favored by three. That's the regular home when it's a toss-up game. And I really think it is a toss-up game. So I like Dak Prescott in this game in a deeper league. I like Andrew Luck, of course, in regular leagues. Rebounded nicely there in Houston. So that Jacksonville game was just a total anomaly there. You can tell everyone was worried after that game. But he's back in our good graces with that big game there against the other team from Texas in the NFL. And at home, he's usually pretty solid here. So T.Y. Hilton could have some tough sledding there against Byron Jones. But coming off a monster game last week, they got Zach Pascal involved again. It doesn't matter who's out there. It seems like Ryan Grant or Chester Rogers is hurt or whatever. Or last week, Dontrell Inman wasn't there. He's going to get somebody else, and that's just a sign of a really good quarterback. And Pascal was the guy last week. I'm not going to necessarily go there this week. I think it could be a lot of Ebron and Hilton. Keep it simple here for the Colts. But he's going to find a way to his numbers like he always does with whoever's out there. And that's really been the most impressive thing about Luck's season. Now, am I going beyond Ebron, Hilton, and Luck too much? No, because Marlon Mack has been not so good of late. Got a touchdown last week to kind of salvage his day in Houston, but it didn't look good otherwise. And the Cowboys' run defense is pretty darn good. Sean Lee could return as an extra boost there behind Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch this week. So I'm saying no Marlon Mack. You could see a little bit of Nyheim Hines, but you know that means a little bit of Jordan Wilkins. So not extending there. The Cowboys, same thing. Dak, I think, is going to have to throw again because he's got Andrew Luck on the other side. He'll have some good success with Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott, his main guys in the pass game, but they have been getting the tight ends involved. And there's always a potential for like a short touchdown to Allen Hurns or Michael Gallup or Cole Beasley or another player tight end. So, and of course, Dak hasn't run in one in a while, so there's always that possibility as well for Dak. So I see him getting multiple touchdowns. I'm not sure he's going to go over 400 yards. That was a career high for him last week against the Eagles, but I could see a scenario where he's got 300 there with Andrew Luck on the other side, keeping this game a little bit back and forth. So Prescott's just playing well. I know he made some mistakes there against the Eagles, but still made a lot more big plays. And he's just locked in here and been pretty solid with a nice floor in fantasy. Going forward, Zeke, he's going to eat. He's going to do well. He's going to do what Zeke does as a runner and a passer. Amari Cooper, you're not sitting this guy down. He's just on fire. The matchup against Quincy Wilson mainly is pretty darn good. So there you feel good about this game having a lot more scoring than I think everyone anticipates. Our next 1 p.m. game is the Titans and Giants, and the Titans are 2.5-point underdogs in this game, 43.5 over under. So not expecting a very high scoring game. These defenses have come on strong of late. Let's start with the Titans. They can contain Saquon Barkley a little bit. I don't necessarily think he's a guy that you're going to sit in a year long, of course, ever. But in DFS, I might fade him a little bit because the Titans can be good against the run. He's going to get his through the passing game. He's just always there. But if you can go somewhere else for your DFS lineup, I would do that away from Saquon. Now, Odell Beckham Jr., we're going to watch this carefully, but this is a great matchup for him. Remember, T.Y. Hilton destroyed Adoree Jackson, a young corner who gets beaten by these guys that are really speedy and can match him, and he doesn't really turn around well because he looks back to the quarterback here. So Odell Beckham Jr., if he's in with that quad, you're going to feel really good that he can smash this matchup against the young Jackson there. And on the other side, Sterling Shepard, whether he's in the slot against Logan Ryan or outside against another Patriot, former Patriot there, Malcolm Butler, he can produce here. So Evan Ingram, it's going to be tough there. The Titans are really good at covering the tight end with their safeties and linebackers. So they've been that all season long. That's been kind of their calling card in their defense. So a lot of simplicity in the passing game. Barkley, Beckham, if he comes back as expected, and Shepard, and not going to extend Eli Manning. I'm just not going to trust him in this particular spot where there's better places you can go. Now, on the Titans side of things, you look at Marcus Mariota. I'm not going to go there this week with him unless you're really in a pinch here. I think the Titans are going to run the ball effectively again against the Giants. That's what they want to do. They got back to doing that against the Jaguars, and you had the monster game by Derrick Henry. Now everyone's going to chase the Derrick Henry game from last week. I think if you look at the Giants and the way they've struggled, they've struggled with more of those quicker, elusive backs that have some power but also juice to the outside since they lost Damon Harrison. But, I do like Henry in this game, and he's the lead dog here, but I think Deion Lewis could have some sneaky value. I don't think it's just the Derrick Henry show, and he gets 25 touches, and that's it from last week. He's just not built to do that. He's a straight-ahead runner here, and the guy that moves is Lewis, and I think he could have the better game in this particular one as the so-called hot hand. And with the receivers, Corey Davis, I like him as well. If someone's going to make a play for Mariota, we know it's him. There's no more Jonnu Smith, the tight end. Davis can get the better of Janoris Jenkins here and maybe get a touchdown for you with a good yardage day. Our next game that we look at the 1 p.m. window is the Dolphins and Vikings. The Vikings are 7-point favorites at home here. It's a 44.5 over-under. We know the Vikings have really struggled the past 2 weeks. Been very disappointing. Kirk Cousins, Patriots, Seahawks. There were opportunities against those secondaries, but really left a lot on the table. I think that changes this week. The Dolphins secondary could be without Xavier Howard again. That's great news for Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen because the secondary is really stinky, and we saw that against the Patriots last week. Julian Edelman and Josh Gordon pretty much did what they wanted. Kyle Rudolph has hit or miss. I mean, the matchup is kind of favorable. Rashad Jones and that unit has struggled a little bit to cover the tight end, but it's tough because they don't really throw there. And I don't know, with the new coordinator there, Kevin Stefanski, taking over for John DeFilippo, if they're going to do that. I think they're going to keep it with their principles of Dalvin Cook, Thielen, and Diggs here, and Cousins. I like all those four guys because I know they're going to be involved. Rudolph, you're pretty much hoping for that short touchdown, which is possible, but just the usage there and the scoring just hasn't been there. So, and I can see Cook, Diggs, and Thielen all scoring in short range as well to help Cousins today. And Vikings defense, great spot at home. Dolphins, not nearly the same type of offense on the road. Kenny Stills can be held in check here. So can Kenyon Drake, who both had monster games against the Patriots. Vikings have a lot more speed and the coverage ability in that secondary here. Even if Trey Waynes has to miss another game, Holton Hill, the rookie, has been playing fantastic with Xavier Rhodes. So not anything I like on the Dolphins. I expect the Vikings to win this game. Dolphins could do something wacky on special teams or the passing game with other guys and get it done. But the Vikings will be in control and all things Vikings here, and not much, if at all, anything on the Dolphins this week. Our next game, before we bring on Jeff to talk about the biggest games here of week 15 in the NFL and fantasy football, Buccaneers and Ravens. And now you look at this one, the Ravens are comfortable home favorites, -8 here, 47 over under. So they're going to do some scoring. Now, before we got on air here, we learned that Lamar Jackson is going to start over Joe Flacco. That was confirmed. We had totally expected that. Why would you go back to Joe Flacco? You're winning with this formula with a lot of running, some careful passing. Totally a 180 of what the Ravens were doing early in the season, where they were throwing to John Brown, Michael Crabtree, and Willie Snead all over the field. So people are on Lamar Jackson in this one. I can see it because there's going to be some shot opportunities against the Bucs, but I also see the other perspective where the Bucks will offer not much resistance here. Their offense really struggled in the second half against the Saints. Jameis Winston, the pressure is going to be constant on him. They're not going to be able to run the ball. So I can see the Ravens just being in complete control of this, where Lamar Jackson, if they're ahead, then I don't see any reason for Lamar Jackson to really air it out here. Of course, he's going to get you a good baseline of rushing yards, but they really got more from Kenneth Dixon last week behind Gus Edwards. So this could be just pretty much a lot of Dixon and Edwards here as they control the action. Their defense sets them up nicely here. So I think a sneaky stack is Kenneth Dixon and the Ravens defense. Dixon I like a little bit more than Edwards this week. I mean, Edwards is usable. I think he drops to a flex. Well, I like Dixon as an RB2 just because of the usage. He's going to get involved in the pass game. Their snaps were rather close last week. So I think you can see a scenario where both of these guys will really produce well this week. So I'm sticking with the running game there, and that's where I'm Ravens running game and defense. On the other side, the Bucks. I'm starting Mike Evans, but that's about it. I'm not feeling good about Adam Humphries and Chris Godwin. If they were both shut down in a great matchup last week, this is a much tougher matchup. No DeSean Jackson, we know that. We look at the running game, Peyton Barber shutting down. So a lot of sacks, a lot of turnovers there. I think James Winston is going to go back to one of those ugly games this week, and the Ravens could be a semifinal winner playing them this week in your league. Now, before we bring on Jeff Ratcliffe, I've got something exciting to announce. As I mentioned to start of the show, teased it. Well, we've got a DraftKings listener league, and I just tweeted out the link there. You can check out my Twitter feed. I'll send it again here after I publish the show and share it on Twitter where you know. So you can check it out. It'll be out there to look at it. And it's a $3 contest here. And you can get in on the Thursday night game with the Chiefs and Chargers. If you don't know how that works, you pick that captain player and others there to fill out your lineup. The captain's spot pays you 1.5 or in terms of the return on points. So keep that in mind. It's a great, great little league there. I mean, you just do it. It's $3 entry fee. It's solid. You can win up to 20 there. It's a 25-man tournament there. You can start there and play. And right now, I look at it, you put in those five flex players, that captain who gets 1.5 points that they normally earn there. So you got to decide between Patrick Mahomes and Phillip Rivers, and looking at maybe some running back values there with Justin Jackson and Damian Williams need to play some roles there. So how do you want to break it down and fill out that lineup? Well, we'll have that insight on that game with Jeff Ratcliffe coming right up here. But make sure you're checking for that link. DraftKings will be proud to be partnered with them. They do such a great job with DFS, and this is a great time to get into DFS. As we've been done with a lot of our year-long leagues, once you get into DraftKings, you're going to be hooked, and this is a way to do it. Get in and have some fun playing with the Locked On NFL Network. So this is fantastic to join this game now. DraftKings has got all kinds of games for you, and we're happy to have you for the ride here to close out the season. We'll have all kinds of games there to check out with the Locked On Network Listener League here, Locked On NFL. Play against us and have a shot to win some cool prizes and get in on the DraftKings fun. We'll be right back here with Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus. We'll talk about the Chargers-Chiefs game first and three other big games of the week. Joining me now, as he always does here on Wednesdays on the Matchup Focus program, is Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus. Jeff, how's it going this week? We're almost at the home stretch here. Three more weeks. I see the finish line here.
We are. You know, a few weeks ago, I thought, all right, I'm good. It really started to sink in and hit hard. It's a long season, and especially if you're still playing in season-long leagues, you know that. A whole bunch of sprints crammed into a marathon, but fantasy semifinals in most leagues, the light at the end of the tunnel getting bigger, and then onto the NFL playoffs and the NFL draft process. And even something that's kind of interesting this year, I'm moderately excited about the AAF as well. So we'll see if that football ends up being any good here in February, March, and April.
Yeah, maybe we'll start a fantasy football league with those players and see and make our lives even more difficult at this time of year. But when we look at the games this week, of course there's question marks. It's this late in the season, but we still have a lot of question marks. The Chargers-Chiefs game, the marquee game on Thursday, unfortunately. It's Thursday Night Football, so that creates two injury major question marks. Melvin Gordon still not looking good to play. He did get a limited practice there with the knee, but the reports are that maybe too short of a week to play. On the other side, you have Spencer Ware dealing with shoulder and hamstring issues and hasn't practiced early this week either. So you're looking at maybe Justin Jackson and Damian Williams. Which of those two do you kind of like a little bit more in this matchup?
For me, it certainly would be Justin Jackson. And I think, I don't know about Ware. That one's a little bit more iffy because it was that shoulder injury. We saw him even play through the injury. I mean, he's also dealing with a hammy, but we'll obviously keep a close eye on that one. I think Williams would be essentially right around where I would consider Ware, so more of a back end RB2, whereas Jackson has already shown some special ability. Now, he didn't necessarily come through last week, which is fine. I mean, it happens. But in this situation with Austin Eckler concussed, with Melvin Gordon, like you said, it does not look promising. He would figure to get a ton of touches. You know, could we see 20 plus touches for Jackson? Absolutely. And maybe the Chargers are playing from behind. I mean, this is a marquee matchup of them all. As you said, this is a really crazy matchup because I wouldn't have expected, you know, a few weeks back that the Chargers would be sitting here. And if they win, then all of a sudden now they're in the mix for home field through the whole playoffs. But regardless, the Chiefs can struggle a little bit against the run game. So Jackson for me is really, really interesting. I think he would be a front end RB2 if in fact Gordon does sit.
Now, on the other side, the Chargers have been pretty good against most wide receivers this year, but we know they really struggled to do anything against Tyreek Hill in the defensive or return game in week one. And they've been rather good against tight ends. Do you think that kind of changes here, or do you think it's more still more of Tyreek Hill versus Travis Kelce this week in this particular matchup?
I don't think anything necessarily changed. I mean, the advantage that the Chargers have is that they can use, obviously they can use Desmond King in the slot and Casey Hayward to shadow on the outside, which is a nice 1-2 tandem. I mean, Desmond King's in the midst of a breakout season, but the problem is that Hayward, if he is shadowing, typically does a better job against bigger bodied receivers. So could we see a repeat of what we saw in week one? There was three receiving touchdowns, obviously, by the wide receivers in that contest. I think we could. And obviously there's no stopping Travis Kelce at this point. Really doesn't matter the matchup to me. I'm not concerned. I think we're not going to move the needle at all, even though, yeah, the Chargers haven't given up much in that area. Does not matter. I think the thing that obviously is the most important here is that Hill is in fact good to go. He's dealing with that heel injury. It sounds like it's going to be nothing, but you never know. I mean, obviously Odell Beckham Jr. owners from last week can tell you that you never know. So we have to, you know, make sure we're keeping a close eye on this right up into the game time and make sure we have a backup plan in place just to be safe.
Now with the Chargers periphery wide receivers, we know you're putting in Keenan Allen, but in your wide receiver matchup chart, it doesn't look like maybe the greatest, most comfortable spot here for Tyrell Williams and Mike Williams.
I don't think I'm interested in using those guys. I think I want to just sort of stick to the hits here. Obviously, Keenan Allen's role has always been a large one, but he's been just such an important factor in that offense over the last 5 weeks when he's scored in all five of those games, when he's seeing the volume that we kind of expected all along. You have him. Could one of the Williamses find the end zone? Sure, but I don't want to try and play the guessing game as to which one of those guys. So those guys are a little bit lower in my rankings this week, and I try to fade them just because of that uncertainty.
Now, we have a little bit uncertainty going into the Steelers-Patriots game. It's off the board for a little bit until we get some clarity on Ben Roethlisberger playing, but he should play. He came back in with the ribs injury against the Raiders. Now, is this a game where you start almost everything except maybe the running backs on both sides?
I think you still have to if Connor doesn't play, then I think you have to start Jalen Samuels. There was enough volume there last week for him to be a reasonably good play. I mean, especially in the passing game. So if you're in PPR leagues, it's just that Ridley got the touchdown, but Jalen was used down in the red zone as well. So it's not like they were just using Ridley. On the other side, I think you use Sony Michel as an RB2, but you may look to downgrade expectations for James White just a little bit, just because Gronkowski is now getting a lot more looks. You know, in that part of the field, you essentially have three weapons for the Patriots. You have Gronk, you have Edelman, you have White, and Edelman's going to get his no matter what. And now that Gronk has seemingly turned the corner with the injury stuff, he's always a little banged up because he's Gronk, but last week obviously got big in that game. It's not good for James White, so just be careful if you have James White this week.
Now, there's some interesting matchups with the cornerbacks and wide receivers this week. You have, we'll start with one side here with the Steelers with Joe Hayden and then Mike Hilton. How do you think those matchups fare against Josh Gordon and Julian Edelman this week?
Well, Gordon for this team has drawn the attention of the opposing defense, and I part of me thinks, was that the plan all along? You know, we don't ever know what Belichick's plan was, but we do know that they like to take one player out of the game if they can, you know, or whoever, you know, that's one of the things that they've historically done. So if you have Gordon gobbling up coverage, that takes something away from the opposing defense. And then that helps, you know, Edelman, for example. So when I look at this, I mean, Hayden, I do think is going to shadow this week. It's not going to be a 100% of the time shadow on Josh Gordon, but could we see him on Gordon 70% of the time? I think that's certainly within the realm of possibility. So then you're talking Mike Hilton versus Julian Edelman, and Hilton's done a decent job this season, but I still think advantage Julian Edelman regardless, the way that he is seeing volume, the way that he has played over the last, you know, few weeks here. So Gordon, given his upside, he's still a wide receiver too, but if you had to choose just one of those guys, I would choose Edelman.
Now, this is more of a DFS question with Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster. I noticed there was the old red on Antonio Brown on the other side on your wide receiver matchup chart with Stephon Gilmore, who's played fantastic this season. We know that Jason McCourty has also played pretty well. It's hard to know from week to week which guy's going to go off, Juju or Antonio Brown. Who are you kind of feeling? It seems like you'd be leaning more towards Juju staying hot in this one.
I think so. Yeah, I do. When he's not in the slots, you having Ryan Switzer out there really changes what this team can do, because you're not going to use Switzer on the outside very much at all, as opposed to when you had James Washington. All right, now Juju has to play in the slot almost all the time in three wide. Now he's on the outside. So that means, I mean, McCourty's typically covering the slot. He could be on Switzer most of this game, which means Smith-Schuster has the best matchup. You know, last week it was JC Jackson out there. If they continue to go with that, I'm taking Juju all day long in that matchup. And I think Ben's going to see that as well, because as you mentioned, Gilmore has been phenomenal this year, and he's been asked to do some really tough things, like week in, week out, shadow the opposing number one, and he has responded. He's one of the tops in terms of, fewest catches allowed per target in the league right now. So it could be a little tough for Brown. I think obviously in season long, yeah, you start both of them, you know that. But if you had to choose one in DFS, yeah, I like Juju, and the price point is a little bit better as well.
Now, the next game, as we go to the marquee Sunday night game, I don't know how marquee it is at this point, because we have some breaking news that Carson Wentz doesn't look like he's going to be playing with a back injury. This Eagles team backs against the wall as they try to beat the Rams. Now, let's start with the Rams side of things. This looks like a rebound spot for everyone involved. Jared Goff, Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, and Todd Gurley to all kind of overcorrect everything that went wrong in Chicago last week.
Indeed. The Eagles secondary is certainly going to cure all of what ails this passing game for sure. The secondary it was a weak spot for the Eagles entering the season. And then, of course, even, you know, Ronald Darby wasn't that good or anything, but losing him, your best corner, you've been sort of reeling since then. I mean, you could be looking at a starting trio of Cravon LeBlanc in the slot, Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones on the outside. I mean, that's not good for Philadelphia. And then when you look to the safety positions, you know, when you're talking nickel, when Malcolm Jenkins plays essentially a hybrid linebacker, you have Chandon Sullivan or Trey Sullivan that is out there, and Corey Graham out there, who Graham has had a lengthy career, but he's coming to the end of the line. I can't see how the Rams don't just demolish, just decimate this Eagles secondary. The only downfall, as you mentioned, though, is the game script. If Nick Foles – is this a Nick Foles revenge game, by the way? If Nick Foles gets out there and stinks up the joint, then you could see just a ton of Todd Gurley. If Nick Foles becomes Nicky Franchise again and he can actually get the job done, then that's a lot better, obviously, for that passing group. But still, I think they rebound regardless.
Yeah, it looks great for them. Now, would you extend – I know last week the Eagles had sprung some leaks against the tight ends, the limited tight ends of the Cowboys. Would you extend if you're looking for something a little contrarian for a little Gerald Everett and DFS?
I think so. And even in season long, I mentioned this last week and I sort of reiterated it this week. If you're looking – and you're not in a league where Jalen Samuels can be used at tight end. If you're looking outside of the top six, so Kelce Ertz, Ebron, Kittle, Gronk, Cook – outside of that, essentially the next about a dozen tight ends are pretty much all the same. You know, there's not that much that separates somebody like Cameron Brate and somebody like Austin Hooper or Evan Engram or even Gerald Everett, really. It's whoever gets in the end zone out of those guys. So I think Everett is even in play as a streamer in season-long leagues.
Now with Foles in the mix here, it's funny because this is the exact spot last year where Carson Wentz got hurt, and now he's not playing in this game against the Rams. Now, how do you kind of see it playing out? I think Alshon Jeffrey inspired quite a bit by having a nice game against the Cowboys, finally, that everyone was looking for. You kind of seeing him keeping it simple with the Jeffrey and the checkdowns to Darren Sproles and Zach Ertz this week?
We know that Foles likes to take shots. You know, he has that big rainbow that he throws. So if anybody, who would that work for? It would be Alshon. I think we will still see plenty of Ertz. The running back situation just hasn't gotten better. Obviously, Corey Clement now out for the season for them as well. So, I mean, I think you got to, if you have Alshon, you can use him as a wide receiver three, maybe a borderline wide receiver two. You start out Ertz no matter what. But it's going to be tough to endorse much else in this offense. Even Josh Adams, who's seen a lot of volume, is at best an RB3 play this week.
Yeah, and it's an unfortunate break there, especially if you have Wentz, because this is a guy that is one of the more consistent quarterbacks out there week in and week out. And I don't know if you're going to get, like you said, the super version of Foles or the ordinary version of Foles. I mean, it's a toss-up.
Big difference. There's a big difference between those two.
Yeah. And the floor ceiling thing is what we look at in fantasy football, and the floor and ceiling are way different on this one particular player. Now, our last game that we'll talk about here is the Saints and Panthers. And we'll start with the Panthers. Now, it's hard to know what you're going to get from their offense in a particular week. Cam Newton, clearly the shoulder's bothering him a little bit, but it seems like they've tried to simplify this passing game to be about Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, and Curtis Samuel mostly, a little bit of Ian Thomas from last week. But it looks like Moore and Samuel would be in a good position here with probably Devin Funchess getting the Marshawn Lattimore matchup.
Yes, exactly. And Eli Apple, incidentally, now he did a good job against Chris Godwin last week, but Eli Apple has seen 30 targets thrown into his coverage in the last three games, 30 of them. That's an enormous number there. So who goes up against Eli Apple? Well, that's DJ Moore. DJ Moore would be poised for a nice game here. And also with Cam, I'm not going to freak out too much. I know a lot of people are concerned by the shoulder. However, last week, if we didn't have a couple key drops there, Curtis Samuel had two drops in that game. If we didn't have a couple key drops, I think people would be singing a very different tune about Cam. I don't place a lot of that on him last week. I do place it on the receivers. So I think you still use him as a quarterback one and not overthink it. He's a back-end quarterback one. I wouldn't start him over, you know, on the other side. Drew Brees, even on the road, I'm still going to use Drew Brees ahead of him.
And that's some of the things that popped up last week. Even though Drew Brees ran in a touchdown and got another touchdown, people were like, what's wrong with Drew Brees? I read so many things that were out there on what's wrong with Drew Brees from the last two games. I think if anything is wrong with Drew Brees, maybe the matchup against the Cowboys was tough. This one seems like a spot for him with the chance to keep pushing for that number one seed here, that he's going to play lights out here against this Panthers defense that looked really bad against Baker Mayfield last week.
And you can certainly throw on them. We know that. And what I really like is that they, you know, they pick on matchups now. And the beauty here too, to Breeze, I mean, if you say like, oh, what's wrong with him? Well, he has no receivers first and foremost. You know, can we get Ted Ginn back, please? Because they have nobody to throw the ball to other than Michael Thomas, really. I mean, you have the running backs out of the backfield, but Tre'Quan Smith has shown us again. I mean, if there's a receiver with a higher or a bigger difference between his ceiling and floor out there, I don't know who it is. He could give you a fantasy goose egg. He could go out and score two touchdowns, go up for 100 yards. I think obviously we learned our lesson with him and we fade him, but still I expect Breeze to attack James Bradbury with Michael Thomas. And I think Michael Thomas is a candidate to go up over double digit catches again. I mean, he's very much in the mix there this week. So I like Breeze as a bounce back. I have him at number three. The only two I have ahead of him are Patrick Mahomes and Ben Roethlisberger, who've been doing it pretty much all season long.
Now, if you're looking for a cheap DFS play this week, are you looking at all at Keith Kirkwood? Because I've noticed in the previous games when he's had an opportunity against bad slot corner play with Brian Poole, I think it also in Cincinnati, he had a pretty good game there as well. Is it a chance here against Captain Munnerlyn where Breeze might try this guy as the extension here of what Thomas is doing in this game?
He could. I'm not going to use him in cash games. I think he could definitely have some exposure. And by the way, Kirkwood, just a great story. Just a great story. The kid works his butt off. He was in the practice squad for a chunk of the year. And now here he is in playing some meaningful football on a team that's obviously in contention. But yeah, in tournaments, if you need a punt, he's super cheap. He can get some work in the red zone. And really all you need is a couple catches and a touchdown and he reaches value. So yeah, he's very much in play. I think that's a good punt option right there.
Now, looking at Mark Ingram here and his it's kind of been dependent on them having a lead late on his usage, kind of a lot like last year. But Alvin Kamara has been kind of quiet. Do you think both of those guys rebound together here, knowing the magnitude of this game and this matchup overall in the pass game that's going to open things up for the running game?
I think so. I obviously every week I'm going to choose Kamara over Ingram, but it's really because of his role in the passing game where Ingram isn't doing as much. I mean, the carries have been pretty close between the two. It was almost spot on 50-50 last week. But, you know, I think if you have them, you use Kamara every week as an RB1. You use Ingram every week as an RB2. And I do think this is the right game for them to produce.
All right, Jeff, good stuff breaking down all those games with us here. Now, I know it's the holiday time. People may want to give a gift subscription to somebody they know who loves football and fantasy to Pro Football Focus. How can they do that? And what's the easiest way they can do that now? So you're set for fantasy for most of next year as well.
The gift that keeps giving year round right there. I like it. Yeah. ProFootballFocus.com. We have two subscriptions you could get. You could get the Edge, which is $40. You can get Elite, which is $200. But of course, for that $200, you get a lot more, including premium stats. You get some of the advanced DFS and all of that fun stuff for fantasy and our gambling product as well, which we call PFF Greenline. So if you want to make against the spread picks, you want to make money line picks, over under picks, we have them all for you, powered by data science, which is very fancy, but I assure you, our team is really, really good. So ProFootballFocus.com for that.
Yeah, check it out. There's also some free articles you can check out as well there if you're not a subscriber to get you into the mix there at Pro Football Focus. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Good luck in your games this week, and we'll catch up with you before week 16 next week.
Sounds good, Vinny.
Thanks again to Jeff for joining the show. Tomorrow, as a reminder, we'll have Pro Football Focus again with Tyler Lochner there, and we'll get more into DraftKings and all the good stuff there with Lineup Focused, our DFS focused show there on Thursday to close each week. Well, we always do. We have three more weeks here, so looking forward to that for sure in fantasy to close out the season. So get in on that DraftKings league, and remember, I will tweet out that link and check it out. And you can follow us there on Facebook, Instagram, as well as Twitter. I'm Vinny Iyer on Twitter and Facebook, so pretty easy to find. Check out all the great hosts on the Locked On NFL Network there. We're all over social media, and we're connecting to you. You're the most important person to us here, the Locked On listener, and we're happy that you're part of the family and getting our insight every week. Be right back here to break down the rest of the games on the Week 15 NFL schedule. So we have a few more games that we didn't talk about here, and we have the 1 p.m. window that needs to be put the book on. We have four games there, and one game to talk about in the 4 p.m. window, and then you'll be set here with matchup focused and be ready for lineup focus tomorrow. Looking at the Cardinals and Falcons here, 1 p.m. game. Falcons at home, 9-point favorites, is the 44 over-under. Now, this is a really good spot for Tevin Coleman and Ito Smith. Both these guys ran well in Green Bay. The game got out of hand, and that's kind of what killed both their values. I know everyone's on Ito Smith. I get it. He's the guy that's the future here. Coleman probably playing out the string in three games here as he's a free agent. But Coleman, this is the fast track of Atlanta. He usually does well in this spot here. And the Cardinals struggled with his type of runner. Look at Aaron Jones and Tevin Coleman from the past couple weeks. Very similar profiles here. There last week, Zach Zenner got it done against the Cardinals in the second half. So I think that's more of the Ito Smith type runner, but I think the Falcons should be in control in this one. They want to win a game with running game and defense for a change for Dan Quinn to end their losing streak here. So I expect that's where they'll go. Now, this Cardinals passing game is also pretty tough, so another reason to stay on the ground as well as much as possible. You still like Matt Ryan to some degree, but if you've got better guys that are going to be in shootouts, I would go in that direction because, again, the Cardinals pass defense is tough. The game flow is not going to be in the favor. I look at really Calvin Ridley and Mohamed Sanu having some tough matchups in this game. So it's all about Julio and all about him scoring multiple times, but they're not going to have the same volume of Green Bay last week. So still like Julio, love the backs this week as deeper plays as RB2 slash flex for Coleman and Smith. And you look at Austin Hooper. If he's another guy I'm looking at that could do some damage here, the Cardinals are good there against those wide receivers. Patrick Peterson, their other corners have stepped up here of late. So Hooper, things could open up for a tight end for him in this particular game there. And if they're going to run the ball often and be effective, you could see Hooper out there as well to slide out and get a touchdown here off play action in the red zone. And on the Cardinals side of things, David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald disappointed against the Lions last week at home. I think they're both good spots. We know the Falcons really struggle with the backs in the passing game. That's a consistent problem for them. And Johnson, if they use him right, we hope so. The Cardinals will, to protect Josh Rosen, dump things off. He'll have some opportunities here, especially with playing from behind. Same thing with Larry Fitzgerald. I'm not going to Sherfield, the guy that came out of nowhere last year. I think of old Chris Berman thing with Gary Sheffield, Sherfield of dreams. No, he's going to be the Sherfield of nightmares this week if you try to play him this week. It's going to be Johnson and Fitzgerald running the show here for the Cardinals and get some garbage production here. And I like the Falcons defense as a sneaky play with a maybe possible big turnover by Josh Rosen. Our next game, staying in the 1 p.m. window, we have a lot of 1 p.m. games, only two in that 4 o'clock window. We talked about the Patriots and Steelers. We have one more to talk about there, but three more here in the 1 p.m. window. The Raiders and Bengals. Bengals are 3-point favorites at home. That makes this a pretty even, basic game between these two teams, and a good chance for some garbage on both sides. Derek Carr, looking at a DFS, not a bad play again this week. Not quite sure to trust in the wide receiver core, but we know we're totally trusting Jared Cook. He's had two big games in a row. The Bengals are very vulnerable against the tight end. He's the go-to guy for Carr. So like him, like Doug Martin, if you want to go deeper for Jalen Richard, you could as well because the Bengals give up a lot to receiving backs here. But Martin and Cook are consistently involved with Derek Carr. He's going to get different receivers involved. Carr's just playing well all of a sudden here past 2 weeks against the Chiefs and Steelers. Bengals better matchup yet than those two. So that's where I'm going with the Raiders. With the Bengals, the principals as well, Tyler Boyd and Joe Mixon, you got to feel good about there as the main guys there for Jeff Driscoll. CJ Uzuma is your deeper play here. The Raiders have given up a lot to the tight end of late as well. So if Boyd figures to produce on the slot underneath routes, then Uzuma does too here for Driscoll. So then Mixon, what can you say? He looked fantastic against the Chargers last week, doing it all. And he's going to have another great day against the Raiders. And again, Joe Mixon with his schedule could be an absolute league winner there. It's the Browns next week as well. So great, great spot here overall for the Bengals offense, mainly their guy Mixon, and the Raiders finishing with a bang here after really struggling all season. Of course, that means you're going to avoid both defenses in this game like the plague. Now, our next 1 p.m. game we'll talk about is the Redskins and Jaguars. The Jaguars are 7-point favorites in this game, and it's a 36 over-under. So, you know, there's not going to be a lot of points in this one at all. I think it's going to go under that under, over-under of 36. So, but the one guy I really feel good about in this game is Leonard Fournette. I know he's disappointed. The Titans game was a mess. He didn't play in that game where they shut out the Colts a couple weeks ago at home. And he's had some weird things gone, like the punch and the fan thing. But I think at some point this guy's talent is going to take over and dominate. His buddy Darius Geis unfortunately couldn't play for the Redskins. The other LSU back. So Fournette, this is a Fournette smash game because the Jaguars defense should dominate the Redskins here with Josh Johnson. So they're not going to mess around. They're going to trust their two most talented guys, Fournette and D.D. Westbrook, in the passing game. That's where I'm going. I think both are in great position to produce here, as well as the Jaguars defense. That's where I'm going. I'm not really looking at anything else in the Jaguars, but I'll be happy if all those three guys come through. And well, really, that's 33 guys with the defense, but the Jaguars should definitely be a solid play. And Fournette, Jaguars defense stack, another good one in DFS this week. Now, Redskins, Josh Doctson's banged up. No, he's got a concussion. Tough secondary. They've gotten better as well in the slots. I know Jameson Crowder. I wouldn't go with Vernon Davis here either. It's just a mess. So Josh Johnson, I know, provided a little bit of spark, and that's why he's starting this week. But avoid, 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 including Adrian Peterson, who I think the Jaguars can easily shut down. That, you know, they'll be more emphasized to stop the run and shut down Peterson after that debacle against Derrick Henry last week to get some pride. I think Tom Coughlin, big brother, so to speak, of the Jaguars, will be watching to see if he wants to take over this team and who's going to get rid of as the executive and when he comes down as a coach. So I think there's motivation here for the Jaguars to finish strong, especially in front of their home crowd against a lowly team. Now, our next game we'll talk about is the Lions and Bills, and this is the last of the 1 p.m. games. It's a 3-point favoritism to the Bills. It's basically a toss-up, another low-scoring game in terms of over under 30.5. Not a surprise. I just don't know if I'm going to get a lot of big defensive plays. I think Bills and Lions as plays give you nice floors, but they're also going to run the ball, be rather conservative, and I could see that against the other's pass defense in this game. So may not get a lot of the sacks and turnovers. I think you'll have a low-scoring game, which helps the floor of these defenses, so keep that in mind. But in terms of who I'm going to play on either offense, I think you could look at Zach Zenner a little bit because the Bills do give up on average more than a rushing touchdown a game, and that's where they've been the most vulnerable. So I guess I'm looking there. Kenny Golladay could see Tre'Davious White, not interested in that. Theo Riddick, he can get you scratch out those 6 points in standard, a little bit more in a PPR. I guess if you need him, you can go in that direction, but not excited about playing him. And Matthew Stafford, absolutely not on the road after he scrounged to 100 passing yards last week in Arizona. No, not buying that at all. For the Bills, no, I'm not going to Josh Allen. I'm not going to risk it. Robert Foster versus Zay Jones. I don't know where the Darius Slay matchup is going to go, and I don't know who's going to be involved. Is it Isaiah McKenzie? The Bills' running game is banged up here with LeSean McCoy hamstrung. You got Chris Ivory with a bad shoulder. Avoid, avoid, avoid. Really, in a nutshell, this is play the defenses, and those are your solid 9 to 10 point plays this week among anything on either of these two teams. And our final game that we didn't get to, it's the only 4:05 game of the week, the Seahawks and 49ers. It's a 44 over under. I think it's pretty low. The Seahawks are 5-point favorites on the road. You know, the 49ers play a little bit better at home, and they stay hanging there, and they're going to keep relentlessly moving the ball, and that's always good for fantasy here. And so when you look at the 49ers, it's the principals, and the new principals on this team are George Kittle, Dante Pettis, and Jeff Wilson Jr., just like they drew drew it up. George Kittle, we knew was going to have a big role, but early in the season, basically these guys are what we thought we were going to get from Marquise Goodwin and Jerick McKinnon. Pretty much that's what you're getting from these two guys now. They've just changed their names so many times over the season. Goodwin is still playing there, but there's just a locked-in rapport with Nick Mullins, with Pettis. He's had two big games in a row. Could have had an even bigger game last week against the Broncos. Still solid there of getting in the end zone three times in those two games. And he was extra motivated. He definitely was in the first game. He's a Washington product. So Pettis, you feel good about. Wilson put together a good yardage game there against the Seahawks. Seahawks defense is not dominant. They rely on big plays, turnovers, sacks, and all that. But you can move the ball on them. Their secondary is vulnerable. So if you're stretching for Goodwin, you could go there. But I don't like the volume of late with Kittle and Pettis being the first reads here for Mullins. And Wilson, combined yardage, is going to have another solid game for you this week. So 49ers, not too bad for all the mistakes they make and how they struggle in certain games. At home, they can produce, and that's a testament to the Kyle Shanahan offense. Now, on the Seattle side of things, we'll have to see if Doug Baldwin can play. Tyler Lockett, obviously, in a good spot to produce. David Moore could see some of Richard Sherman. He's struggled a little bit the past few weeks as a rookie, so it's hard to extend beyond Tyler Lockett there in the passing game because we don't know. It could pivot to Jerron Brown, and he could be the guy. Baldwin can come in and produce. But Russell Wilson, again, you're not going to expect a high volume from Wilson. I mentioned that was the danger with the Vikings game where he didn't hit on the deep shots. I think he will hit on some here and get a couple touchdowns at least for the Seahawks this week and rebound from that nightmare against Minnesota at home. So that's where I'm looking at the Seahawks. I think Russell Wilson, you look at Chris Carson, he's locked in now. He just looks good. The 49ers run defense has played a little bit better, tried to contain the Broncos last week, but Carson, the volume, he's going to produce again here in this particular game really well here. And, so Wilson, Carson, Lockett, not extending too much, and the Seahawks defense, of course, is a solid play again. They, after scoring a defensive touchdown against Mullins last week, actually 2 weeks ago, and they also scored a defensive touchdown against Kirk Cousins. So they're hot. I know they're on the road. That changes things a little bit, but Seattle's defense is still playing well. That's what you look for at this time of year, and that's where we're going to this week. So there you have it. There's a look at every game, all 16, on the Week 15 NFL schedule from a fantasy football perspective. That's how we do it on Matchup Focused. We bring on Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus to give us an insight on those four games and give you the rest here and really take you in deep into the fantasy football lineup construction, whether you're year-long or DFS. And speaking of DFS, we'll be back with Tyler Lochner tomorrow of Pro Football Focus, as I mentioned several times before. It's worth because he is so good at what he does there, and so is Jeff, and love to have PFF as part of this. Also love having DraftKings as part of the Locked On NFL Network / Locked On Fantasy Football. So get in on that league now. Check out for that link at Twitter, or Vinny Iyer on Twitter. I was going to say something a little different, but at Vinny Iyer on Twitter, you can check me out there, and we look for that link. I'll send that out a few times before the Thursday game so you can get into it. For Locked On Fantasy Football, for Matchup Focus on Wednesday, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you tomorrow for Lineup Focused.